one of an interview with Anna Reid in July 1991. You were talking about your father sharecropping and taking the cotton to the gin.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded like he was pretty smart. He took his share first, then gave Mr. Merritt his share sure. afterwards.
And I remember him teaching me how to weigh it in the fields. Because we'd go to school and in the afternoon. The younger ones of us would come back, and he'd have a spot left for us to pick, you know. And he'd tell, this is what I want you to do this evening before sundown. And he taught me how to weigh it, put it on the scale and rim of the bell, and weigh the cotton. And then we would pack it all and they'd get up soon in the morning and put it on this big wagon. And sometimes I'd ride on the cotton, going to the gin with them. And stay all day. And we'd pick about 20 bales of cotton. And that's how many we, and I guess my father got half of that and Mr. Mary got the other part.
So you did your share of picking the cotton too?
Yeah, we'd have to pick in the afternoons when we come home.
Did you see the movie Places of the Heart?
Yeah, right.
Did that ring a bell?
It sure did.
Did the bulls destroy your hands like
right.
they did hers?
Yeah, pick your hands. And sometimes there would be worms on that cotton. And that would scare me to death. Those big old horny-looking worms. We had tobacco also. We raised tobacco.
How much tobacco?
Not a whole lot. But I remember us having to... they have little shoots, they call it shoots. You'd have to pick the dead leaves off, and you had to work with that soon in the mornings or late in the afternoon.
Was that a crop shared with Mr. Myriad also?
No, that was on
just your father.
Just my father. We had cane, had sugar cane, and we had a syrup mill. That was just
your own meal?
Our own. That was our own.
What size place was it?
It's a big place.
I mean, the mill.
Oh, not a big one.
A
little cabin size.
Did you ever dream when you were riding the cotton bale to the gym that someday you would be teaching white boys at Clemson how to analyze cotton?
I always said that. I always told my supervisor that. I said, who would have ever thought that I'd be teaching somebody how to do this when I was riding? And I fell off of a bale of cotton one time. And it might be sometimes why I can't remember, because I got a good lick on the back of my head. We were gathering up in the field, and I love to get on the wagon and ride and drive the mule. And I slid off. We went over a terrace, and I hit my head on the back. And that spot is still up there. But I never thought that I would ever be making money, my own money, doing cotton when I was riding on the bale of cotton and picking it. Really didn't.
The house that you lived in was, I take it, one that belonged to Mr. Merritt.
It did.
But you stayed in the same house all the time.
Right.
It sounds to me like your father was relatively fortunate because you stayed in one place with the same landowner and the same house for a long period of time. What about other people you knew? Did they have the same fortune or did they seem to move around a lot?
Most of them. Did. There was another family
did
who which. Lived,
they
right,
moved around
a lot. There was another family, a black family, who lived on that same farm, not far from us, because then we didn't have a telephone. And I remember we'd be out there playing, my mother would holler and call us from there, so it couldn't have been too far.
What were their names?
Jones, Mr. Aaron Jones.
Did he stay there on a long-term basis like your father?
He did, until when I got married and left to go to school, and when I came back. And they still live there. And it's right off 123 going toward Tocoa, Georgia. And the house is not there now, but there's another pretty house built there now. And we had pecan trees, cherry trees. My mother had a green farm. We planted apple trees, cherry trees, pecan trees, any kind of fruit tree we had. And my mother set them out, did it herself.
The house ultimately belonged to Mr. Merritt.
It did.
Mm-hmm. What kind of house was it?
It was, and I was counting the other day, we had to have a six room with a big porch on the front. And we had a swing, And I remember my father used to tell us, don't sit so high on the porch, because traffic was going up that highway, you know. And
so you were facing the highway.
Facing the highway. And my mother had pretty flowers out in the yard and everything. And the porch, a big porch. And it was painted green. And there were six rooms. We didn't have a bathroom. We had an outhouse. And to see it, it was paneling on the inside. I don't know what they call it now. But it was panel. Just a pine, not pine panel like this on my wall.
Were all the interior things your father's and mother's property?
Right.
It wasn't furnished.
No, that was our stuff. Because I have some of the things now that belonged to my mother then.
What types of things do you still have that belong to your family?
I have an iron and a lamp and a churn, a milk churn on the back porch. And I had a big old black pot that my mother used to wash in. I gave it to my daughter. She has flowers in it. And a Dutch oven. And I had an old clock. And I made a mistake and left it up at the home place. And my brother sold it. It was a clock that told you the time of day, the date of the month, and all that. And I have a lot of dishes that belong to my mother, all this antique stuff that she probably paid 15 cents for. Mm-hmm. And I have that, a lot of dishes that belong to her.
You had a turkey platter, you told me, that yeah, got broken and a year or 2 ago.
It fell. And
any furniture? A lot of things.
Yes, there's rocking chairs. I started working part-time with Mrs. Dorsey, who does the reupholstery work, so. And I took the old rocking chairs, and I did them, and I gave my granddaughter one, and I gave my grandson one. And I have one in the bedroom right there, an old chair.
Did the family have fairly nice furniture? Ordinary furniture?
It was ordinary. I remember us having cane back chairs to sit in the kitchen. And we had a big long table and a big old round table that had cloth feet, you know, that looked like feet with the ball in it. We had an old organ.
Pump organ.
And I have the stool in there now from the pump organ. I went out to the organ. But the furniture was fairly well. We know, had 10 children and 6 of them boys. It didn't stay nice too long.
Well, one of the things my mother and her sisters prized from their mother is handwork. Do you have things that your mother made?
I have a quilt that my mother made. I had several of them, but I couldn't keep them all. And I kept this one just to remember because she did it by hand. She put the quilting thing up in the living room. And with the things hanging down, and we'd help sometimes. I did some stitches on it. But they'd have like a quilting bee, and the neighbors would come in, and while they were talking and gossiping, they'd quilt, make a quilt top. And I learned to crochet from my mother.
Do you have any of those types of things she did, crocheting?
Not in there. Maybe a doily or two.
Were these all for family use, or did your mother make any of these for sale?
She had so many children. You know, the first coat I bought, I had, that was bought from the store, was when I went away to college, 2 years ago. My mother made our things. She had no training or anything. She could just sew. She could sew without a pattern.
Did she sew the boys' clothes as well as the girls'?
She could make pants, underpants and things. And
trousers?
And shirts.
Jeans?
She never made any jeans. But then at that time they wore overalls, you know, kind of the bib on it.
Did she make those?
And my dad would buy those. But I remember her making everything else, just about.
Where did your mother go to buy the cloth?
It was a place in Westminster, and they were Jewish, the Vagosities. They had a store. They had everything in there you needed. And that's when my father went and bought all the clothes for the boys. when we made the first bale of cotton. And then Mr. Vagasha would let him have credit too, because I've gone and got several things on and just telling my dad has sent me by to get it. And they had some of everything, cloth and everything else in there, big old store in Westminster. And the store is still there, but they're dead and gone a long time.
So if you bought something in February or March, it might be October before you got around to paying
for it. Right, right.
Were you born in the house?
Yes, we had midwives. My mother had a midwife, all of us. I don't think any of us were born in the hospital.
Do you know the names of any of the midwives?
Yeah, I know mine. Mm-hmm. And she named her. Her name was Louise Earl. And they call her Aunt Lou. That's how I got Louise on my name. Every girl child that she brought into the world, she added her name to it.
Was she the midwife for all the children?
I don't think she was for all of them because, but I know she was for me and my other three, the other three under me. Because I remember when my sister Brooksie was born. And I remember her coming the night before and she spent the night. And so I guess I'm about 10 years older than Brooksie. And I knew she was there for some reason because she had this little bag and everything. And the next morning, I heard this baby crying. And at that time, you didn't get to see the baby right away, you know. So around about lunchtime, after she had cleaned my mother up and everything, I guess, well, she let all the little ones come in to see the baby. And we had a little baby sister. And I know she was a midwife for four of us.
Did you know, when you saw Brooksie, where she had come from?
I suspicion it, because they had told us they came from, that the stork brought, mm-hmm. you know. And we'd see these big, I guess they were, what are these things that fly through there? They had the big thing hanging on their neck. It looked like a stork to me. Mm-hmm. And we would see them flying over, and we would say, my brother and I would say, that's where the best, that. He's taking somebody, a baby. But I was about 10 years old then, and I figured that baby didn't come from that store, because I didn't see him flying over, you know, that day around about that time. And by the time I had found out that they didn't come from the store.
There was then no discussion about your mother being pregnant?
No, there was no discussion.
Just a surprise, hey, you've got a sister.
Uh-huh, I got a baby sister. And my mother never worked out of the home, because there were 10 of us, and by the time my mother sold and cooked and did everything, she didn't have time to work outside the home.
You said there were 10, and there were what, four younger than you?
Mm-hmm. There were six boys and four girls.
Five older than you.
No, there were five older than me. Mm-hmm.
Can you give me all their names?
My oldest brother was William, mm-hmm. William Wilkes. My sister Beatrice. My brother J.P. And my brother H.L. His name was Henry Lee, and they call him H.L. And then my brother, Roy. And I had a sister, Harriet, who died when she was around 12 or 11 from a ruptured appendix. Hmm. That wouldn't happen this day and time for no reason at all. And then I came. And then Robert, John L., and Brooksie.
So it was predominantly a male family.
Mm-hmm.
Only all of the children but one survived.
Right.
Which was a fairly good number for that time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
My grandmother had 10 children and 8 survived just about that same period of time, maybe mm-hmm. a little bit earlier. You also mentioned cousins that stayed a good while.
Mm-hmm. My father's brother lived on this same farm, the Merritt farm, and Uncle Lent, we called him. And he died, he fell dead one day and plying cotton. The cotton was the plying stage. He fell dead at the plow. And he had two girls and a boy. And my Ada, she couldn't work the farm after that. So she left to find, to go, I believe she left and went to up north somewhere. And we kept the children until she found a place for them.
How many were there?
There were three. Virginia and Joyce and Leonard Jr.
And about how old were you at the time?
I was, I was up in my teen, like 13 or 14.
So this would have been, say, in the mid-30s. Mm-hmm. You also said that, I think you said that all your brothers went north, all but one of your brothers went north, mm-hmm. and your sisters. Mm-hmm. Did they go to the same place or different places?
Different places.
How did they go where they already knew folks, or how they make this move?
My brother, my oldest brother never did go north. He didn't even go into the Army service. He stayed there and worked on the farm. All of us stayed home till we were about 20. We were all grown before we got married and mm-hmm. left home. And my sister went. She went to New York and stayed a while, but she moved back to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And my third brother made his career in the Army. He stayed in there about 31 years. Mm-hmm. And he died in New York City last year. And my brother after him, he went somewhere like, I think it was Washington. Most of them went to Washington, because that's where most of my mother's family lived, mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C. And then Roy, my brother Roy, was wounded in World mm-hmm. War II. And a tanker ran over him, and he had just recently married, and he died, what year? Must have been in the 50s when he died, mm-hmm. and his wife remarried again. And then I came along, and I spent a good while in New York, and then I came back. And Brooksy, my sister Brooksy, is in Baltimore, Maryland now. And Robert and John stayed in Washington.
So most of these people moving further north were doing it after World War II. Mm-hmm. How did so many of your mother's family wind up in Washington?
She had a brother who lived there, and he was a minister.
Mm-hmm. What kind of church?
A Baptist church.
Do you remember his name and the name of the church?
His name was Joel.
Joel.
Joe Henderson.
Henderson, and his church?
I don't know the name, but I have a picture of him and his family, and my grandmother had gone there to visit them. But that's how most of them got there, and my mother's sister's children went there to work. And that's how Brooksy got to Baltimore. She went to Washington to work after she got out of college. She went there to work, and then she met a boy from Westminster that she grew up with. And he was working there, and then they moved to Baltimore, Maryland, and they have a family there. And he was the superintendent of education, and she worked at the teacher's library, teacher's college.
What is his name?
John Crew. Mm-hmm. He was superintendent of education for several years.
You mentioned your aunt who went north while your family were keeping the kids. Where did she go?
She in New York. She wound up. I think she's still there.
Mm-hmm. What did she? What kind of work did she find up there?
I really don't know.
When you were growing up, were there recruiters in this area trying to get labor to go north?
Yeah, there were people who wanted people to. I know a lot of several people. At least one or two people who went there with a family to wait to work to mm-hmm. take care of the kids while they worked. The housekeeper.
A white family.
Mm-hmm. A white family. I remember a friend of mine, and she's back here now. She moved back. Her name is Rooney Hawthorne, and she left to go there to work with a white family, mm-hmm. and. In Maryland, and I heard of others who did it, but I know she did it personally.
A number of black people in this area, including the most noted Jane Hunter, but quite a few others, Miss Gassaway, went to Ohio. What was the draw of Ohio for people in this area? Washington seems more logical because you're right on the same railroad and just hop on over.
I don't know, really. Maybe they had relatives there, most likely.
When your brothers, cousins, sisters would go to Washington, would they first go and stay with some of the family until they got settled?
Stay with family, and then they'd get an apartment. Yeah, that was a drawing card.
Were they getting primarily federal jobs, or do you know?
In Washington, most of everything you did there was federal. Even if you were a street cleaner, it's considered federal.
It was probably easier for black employment at that era with the federal government.
Yeah.
Let's go back to your farm, and also to Mr. Merritt. Did you know Mr. Merritt very well? Did he live on the farm too?
They lived in Westminster, and his name was Jew, and we always called him, my father called him Jew, because he was a young man.
Is that J-U-L-E?
J-U-L-E.
He was younger than your father?
Yes, he was younger than my father. He was around my brother's age, my older brother's age. And my father called him Jew, and we called him Mr. Merritt. Sometimes Mr. Jew, but he was, and it was very nice. I can't say that I ever remember us having any problems. Maybe I was so naive I didn't notice it, but I didn't. Because all the things that we had, all he was interested in us was raising cotton, I think. And when he got his amount of bales of cotton and the rent, that was all he wanted. Because we had like peanuts and all that was ours, cane and tobacco.
So you paid a specific rent for the house?
I guess we did. But I remember us having that many bales of cotton every year.
The only thing, though, he got out of your father was the cotton. Everything else belonged to your father.
Because I remember us getting the corn cut and chopped down. And that went for the mules and that we had. And the mules, the cows were ours. That the mules belonged to him, though, because we had a white horse, and that was ours.
One of the things in places of the heart was problems about getting the cotton weight and whether it was a fair weight and fair price. Do you think that happened with your father, or do you know?
I don't think so. Because I remember one time I knew how much it was, a bale, and how much it was, because we would weigh it up in the fields in the afternoon and write it down. And we knew how much was in a bale, how much it weighed. And Mr. Mayor was never there. Very seldom did he come around, except planting time. But I do remember we would get the fertilizer and the seeds and all that.
From him.
From him.
And you think you got fair weighing when the cotton was taken?
I think we did, but I think I've heard other people say they didn't, that they were cheated at when they got to the mill with the cotton and the thing.
Where did you take the cotton for weighing and for sale?
In Westminster. And I think it's still there. It was over on past the railroad track. It's called the Cotton Mill Hill. The Mill Hill. Because I remember even riding there with them on it, and you stay all day. But they had little stores and things around them. You'd buy bubble gum and stuff like that.
What would you be paid in cash?
You know, I don't remember. We must have got paid in cash. Because then my daddy would go and pay Mr. Vigosity.
Same day?
For the clothes we bought. Not the same day, but he paid. Mm-hmm. We got paid in money.
Did you get to go into town very often?
Well, yeah, we had to walk to school. We had to go through town and get to school. We walked to school.
You lived south of the town?
Mm-hmm.
And your school was what, north of the town?
Yeah. On Butler Street. Isn't that something? It's on Butler Street. And I'm living on Butler Street now.
That must be near where Miss Childers lives, is it?
Yeah, not far. Not far from her.
Tell me about the school. How far did you have to walk to school?
2 miles. 2 miles there and 2 miles back.
Do you remember the length of the school day? What time you started and what time you got out?
About like now, we'd get there at 8 and we'd get up at 3 o'clock. You know what stopped it though? The white kids, those who didn't ride the buses, they push us off the street, shove us off the sidewalk, and we'd fight. And my brother Robert was good at throwing rocks, and we would fight. And you know what they did? They stopped us from getting out. They changed the time for us to get out. The white kids' school was on one, oh, this side, on the left side. We were on the right. And those who had to walk would meet us up there, and they would shove us off the street. And of course, we were going to fight and stay on the street. So they started, and the police would come and snatch us around, you know. And so they started letting us stay in another half hour until the white kids got out. So we started getting out at 3:30 or 4, somewhere like that. But anyway, I know when we, after we started getting out at that time, all the white kids were off the street.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do about lunch? That was a long day.
We carried a little lunch.
No facilities at the school to serve lunch.
Not then.
Was this a one-room schoolhouse?
Or? No, my school had, went to the 9th grade.
Each grade I never was went separate. To one,
mm-hmm, each grade was separate. I never attended a one-room school. My older sisters and brothers did, but I didn't.
It was the same school, but a different building.
No, this school was a built, the school that I went to was built since they went to this one-room school.
So each class had a separate room and a separate teacher.
Mm-hmm.
About what size were your classes?
I guess there must have been maybe 12 in my classes. About 12 or 13 of us.
Do you remember any of your teachers?
Mm-hmm. I remember Mr. Childress was my English teacher, Prince Childress, mm-hmm, and a Mrs. Sizemore. When I first entered first grade, Mrs. Sizemore was my teacher, Etoy Sizemore. Big, stout, real fair lady. And then we had Reverend Morton was our principal for a while. And his wife, Miss Lily Morton, taught. And we had a teacher from... Where was the teacher from? She wasn't here, but Mrs. Floyd from down a little part of the state, down by, because she talked with an accent like, you know, the people down a little country talk. She was our home ec teacher, Mrs. LaRossi Floyd. And we had our music teacher was Mr. Beeks, Clinton Beeks. And he taught us music. He'd come twice a week, call it music appreciation.
So if you were in, say, the fifth or sixth grade, you would have your teacher for that class, mm-hmm, but then during the week, a music teacher and a home ec would, mm-hmm, come in and supplement, right, your regular teacher.
Right. We had music appreciation. I love that. That's how I learned to sing.
What other teachers do you remember?
Those stand out in my mind best of all, and I liked English Mr. Childress was a good English teacher. And I remember that most of my home ec teacher. I learned to sew a little bit.
You went through the 9th grade.
I went there, and then there. I went.
So this was a fair-sized building. Was it? It must have been fairly new from what you say.
It was new.
Good quality?
Mm-hmm.
Well kept up?
Well kept. We had a stage.
Did you have maps, library books, anything like that?
Well, we had a little library. Books, because we used to have to, you know, do a study on books, you know. But, mm-hmm. It was fabulous. The school is still there in Westminster.
You were going to school, did you study or learn much about black authors, black...
History?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had pictures on our wall. Frederick Douglass, Mary McLeod Bethune, And sometimes that was what we taught all day, be somebody, be like, and we had Booker T. Washington, all those big people were in frame, big frame pictures in the auditorium.
And the teachers talked about them in their classes. Mm-hmm. Was this the type of thing you would do during a Black Emphasis Month or throughout the year?
That went on throughout the year.
Which one of all these people struck you the most of the... like people that you studied?
I think Mary McLeod Bethune was really something. She came from a low beginning. She had nothing. And she was aggressive. And all the thing that she went through, you know, she had to be very aggressive and smart. I think she struck me the most. Frederick Douglass was smart, too.
Of course, you were also using state-approved textbooks, so I assume this was on the side. Did you have written materials to use for any of your black authors or people you were studying about?
No, we had books. There was a book, Black History Books. We had big Black History Books.
You don't by any chance still have that, do you?
I had a lot of Paul Lawrence Dunbar book, poetry.
And you had that while you were in school?
Mm-hmm. I think I might still have it.
Okay, let's stop and change the tape again.